Joining me on the telephone is Peter McCullough. And, sir, I understand you're going to be in Independence, Kansas soon. Can you tell us a little bit about what we can expect from this presentation?
I'm looking forward to returning to the great state of Kansas. I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I'm an academic internist, cardiologist, and trained epidemiologist in Dallas, Texas. I'm the former chief of cardiology at the University of Missouri in Kansas City, so I love my time there in Kansas City. And I've been asked to go to the great state of Kansas and update the people there about COVID-19, our efforts, our successful efforts and experience in treating the infection and helping our seniors avoid hospitalization and death. And then I'll give a critical update on vaccine efficacy and safety.
When you were in Bartlesville just recently, you spoke to an overflow crowd. They actually had to have the fire marshal here because we had so many people trying to listen to what you had to say. So this is a very timely and a very important message for people to hear.
It's amazing. I was just on Alex Jones' InfoWars last week, and Alex used the phrase scientific reawakening. That, in fact, the public is undergoing a scientific reawakening. We've had standing room only crowds from 500 to 5,000 people in Phoenix, Jackson, Amarillo, Tyler, in Nebraska, Oklahoma, Florida. It's occurring all over the country. So instead of watching the most recent James Bond movie, people are coming out to learn the science of COVID-19, how the virus spreads, how we can treat it, what successes that we've had in terms of getting people through the illness, what can we look forward to in the future, and then some very important caveats on COVID-19 vaccines.
Now, Peter, when you were here in Bartlesville, everything was presented quite academically, but easy to understand, but I felt like I was in college again, and very interesting course about new treatments, early treatments for COVID-19, and of course, the results of a lot of testing on the efficacy of the COVID-19 vaccine, and everything is very well documented, everything was very well notated.
You know, that's what the public really now has demanded. Our federal agencies and their staffers need to come on with the citations and review the papers with us. People are very data-driven. They can't simply hear a word of, hey, listen, take it, it's good for you, or it's safe and effective. They want to see the risks and the benefits. We have some great news on treatment. Pfizer is coming through with what's called a CL3 inhibitor. It's a form of a protease inhibitor that can slow down viral replication. Merck is going to have molnupiravir, which is a RNA-dependent polymerase inhibitor. We already have ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. We've got the Lilly and Regeneron monoclonal antibodies. We use steroids. We use colchicine, blood thinners. We basically can do everything that would be done in the hospital, but much earlier at home in our high-risk seniors to help them avoid the hospital altogether. So, you know, people don't need to be in a grip of fear. I think what made COVID-19 so menacing over our seniors is the fact that they thought they would sit at home and get no treatment. Not anymore. People are being actively treated every day.
Peter, some of these treatments were poo-pooed in the media early, but we're finding out that when they're used in early therapies, they're quite effective. It's usually when you're in the hospital where it's kind of late. We're talking about ivermectin, we're talking about hydroxychloroquine, and a few other things, too.
It's true. That, no drug, this is a fatal viral infection. No single drug is necessary nor sufficient. Like any other fatal infection, we use combinations. It takes about 4 to 6 drugs. And it turns out that there's things people can do on their own. So we tell everybody now they should have a little kit at home. It should have zinc, 50 milligrams of elemental zinc, vitamin D, 5,000 international units, vitamin C, 3,000 milligrams, quercetin or quercetin, 500 milligram tablets. It should have betadine. This is very important. The iodine solution that doctors use to sterilize wounds, get a bottle of betadine. And we have now our patients using very dilute betadine, 2 teaspoons and 6 ounces of water, gargle with it, spit it out, follow it with Scopa Listerine. They also get a nasal spray bottle and spray it up the nose. Do that twice a day on days you leave the house because you may come in contact with COVID-19. It will knock down the virus. If one is coming down with COVID-19 or scrambling on that first day or two to get a test, go ahead and do that every 4 hours. It aborts the infection 75% of the time, as proven in randomized prospective clinical trials. So, betadine, very important. If one can't tolerate iodine, or pregnant, go ahead and use dilute hydrogen peroxide, same protocol. The bottom line is oral nasal hygiene, super effective. People have been focusing on hand sanitizer. It's not a hand infection. It's an infection in the nose and mouth, and you've got several days to zap it before it takes off.
Wow, this is going to be great. Once again, you will be at Memorial Hall in Independence, Kansas, and this is coming up on Wednesday the 17th, and you will be joined by Chris Kobach, who is a fellow who has a PhD in politics from the University of Oxford, JD from Yale Law School. He served with the U.S. Department of Justice as counsel for the Attorney General. And he's going to, I guess, be talking about your rights under the law in regards to COVID treatment or non-treatment.
Well, you know, when I gave a symposium standing room only at the University of Nebraska, the Nebraska Cornhuskers in Lincoln, Nebraska, it was myself, Mr. Petty, who's an expert on masks, and then a legal expert. I asked a show of hands, crowded auditorium, hundreds of people, how many people here have had COVID-19? Half the people raised their hands, and they talked about their experiences and trouble getting monoclonal antibodies, trouble getting ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. And you know what? Within 48 hours, the Attorney General of Nebraska wrote a brief, heavily citing me, saying, listen, we are going to protect the doctors. Let the doctors use hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, monoclonal antibodies, all the drugs they need to use to treat COVID-19. It was great to see. Let's hopefully we get a similar response from the community in Kansas.
Now, Peter, you've testified before Congress in a few committees on COVID-19, have you not?
I have. I testified for American people in the overall U.S. Senate, the Texas Senate, South Carolina Senate, in the Colorado House of Commons. I've actually testified in federal court in Maine, the state of Maine, and the word is getting out to America that we can treat COVID-19, we can markedly reduce and probably eliminate in the vast majority of people the risks of hospitalization and death, and that we have important information on vaccine safety and efficacy that is not coming forward from our federal agencies.
Wow, this is going to be quite an evening, and we want everybody to come. This is free of charge. This is information that you can use and to help factor in what you may or may not choose to do in the treatment of COVID-19 should you be, you know, unfortunate enough to get it. And this is at Memorial Hall. That is at 410 North Penn in Independence, Kansas. And folks, if you want some more information, you can call 844-922-5743. This is coming up on November 17th. It's going to be from 6 until 9 p.m. You're going to be treated to a very nice old auditorium. This is a classic, and I get the feeling that it might be packed.
Well, it's terrific, and I'm glad people are coming out. And you know what I've said at a recent symposium in Tyler, Texas, again, packed hotel ballroom. I said, where are the medical schools? How come the medical schools aren't holding public symposiums? Where's the federal agencies? How come the CDC or the NIH is not holding public forums so people can learn about this and go over the data? I give everybody my slides. I have all the published manuscripts. People can review them. You know, we have very good data sets now to rely on. We don't need someone's opinion. And it's not information. It's not misinformation. It's actually just the scientific data. And let people make their own conclusions.
You've actually served a president or two, haven't you?
Well, I was in a very distant committee for President Clinton's advisory panel for healthcare. I was really on this health information subcommittee where we grounded out and didn't produce legislation. But I've been honored to try to help the previous administration when I was working on the first investigation of a new drug application for hydroxychloroquine. I communicated with Peter Navarro in the White House, who worked for former President Trump, and we tried to get hydroxychloroquine freed up. It's basically been held up by the FDA with unsupported warnings saying not to use hydroxychloroquine. Recently, the American Medical Association started a vendetta against ivermectin. September 4th, the American Medical Association started a campaign to end the use of ivermectin, if you can believe that. So fortunately, the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, a very old and prominent organization chartered in every state in the United States, fired over a cease and desist letter to the AMA saying, stop this. You know, we need these important therapies in order to treat patients. And for most of the seniors listening, it starts off with monoclonal antibodies. I can't emphasize this enough. You saw President, former President Trump, get them. He did great. Governor Abbott, vaccine failed him. He got monoclonal antibodies here in Texas. Did great. Look at a podcaster, Joe Rogan, did great with monoclonal antibodies. Then we use the other drugs to assist through the process. The only way someone really gets harmed or, heaven forbid, dies of COVID-19 is when they get no early treatment. Mm.
Wow. This is phenomenal. And, of course, once again, we want to remind everybody, November 17th, 6 to 9 p.m., Memorial Hall, 410 North Penn, Independence, Kansas. You will not want to miss this. So you've been getting booked on a lot of TV shows, haven't you, lately? A lot of news programs.
You know, I don't ask for it, but I think it's an important public health service that I'm trying to do as an independent academic physician. I have over 750 publications in the National Library of Medicine. That's in the upper echelon of any person right now in the world. And I have over 51 papers on COVID-19 that are fully published, including the two critical papers that broke the news to the world that we can treat COVID-19 with what we call sequenced multi-drug therapy, that we use these drugs we've talked about in combination to reduce hospitalization and death. And so, you know, I've been delighted to be a frequent contributor on Fox News, working with Laura Ingraham and the Fox producers, as well as been on with Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones and Chris Saucedo and Dan Ball, Sebastian Gorka, Dr. Drew. I mean, you know, these are the media personalities who are trying to get important information out to the public, and hats off to them, because the media is playing a historic role, especially the ones I've mentioned, in getting fair, balanced information out to the public.
Doctor, it's been told to me by people who've worked in Big Pharma and around Big Pharma that there is no cash in the cure, but boy, there's a treasure in the treatment. Is that a valid statement?
That's true. I mean, you can imagine if we got into good oral nasal hygiene, when people go out in congregate settings, I go over this with my patients, and they all zap the virus when they get into their nose when they come home after grocery shopping, and they never develop COVID-19, and we get through this pandemic, which we will. This pandemic will go away. Then you're right. We never have to spend all this money on hospitalization, expensive drugs, particularly the hospitalizations now. The lengths of stay are so long. So many people go to the hospital in a panic. In a paper by Fillmore and colleagues from the VA, 45% of people never had a O2 saturation below 94%. They actually were admitted because they were in a panic. And so people, once they get admitted, they get put into isolation. And we have to kind of break this grip of fear, have people understand you can treat this at home. Contact your doctor. If your doctor won't treat you, get a referral to another doctor in order to get proper treatment going. Everybody listening to this ought to get this home kit I talked about. I'll reiterate again. The bottle of betadine, zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, quercetin. And I would add another home remedy called Pepcid or famotidine. Former President Trump took that, supportive data. Take 80 milligrams a day when acutely sick. And it works on stomach acid, but is also an antihistamine, actually impairs the virus as well. But have this home treatment kit of those elements, betadine, zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, quercetin, and famotidine. Have that in a treatment kit at home, just generic, over-the-counter. Spend less than probably $20 on that. And then be ready to be active when COVID-19 comes calling. Everybody should know where their monoclonal antibody center is. So make a few calls. Figure out where you can get a monoclonal antibody infusion, particularly those over 65, no question, on day one, get a monoclonal antibody infusion. Those over age 50 but loaded with medical problems, also be prepared to get monoclonal antibody infusion. I use them every day in my practice, and I can tell you they are life-saving therapies.
Peter McCullough, where can folks get a hold of you online to read up a little bit more on you and maybe keep up with you a little bit, too?
Well, I do a report to Americans every week on America Out Loud Talk Radio, the McCullough Report. America Out Loud Talk Radio, the McCullough Report. Go to America Out Loud Talk Radio, go to shows. There's about 25 shows. Pick McCullough Report, and then you'll see our posting. I reach out to experts all over the world. COVID-19 is a worldwide problem. One of the things you're not seeing on TV is international collaboration. I get reports from Brazil, from France, from Asia, Indonesia, all over the world to bring America basically new information. A lot of the things we've talked about on this interview, we have not seen on the major media. No one's telling people how to clean their nose and mouth and take care of the virus. No one's telling them about what they should do with home treatment. preparation. And so these are really important public health messages that our medical schools, our hospital systems, and our public health agencies are falling flat on. America, we're 18 months into it, and our public health agencies are not helping Americans make their way through the pandemic.
Peter McCullough, thank you for being our guest today, and we want to remind everyone you'll be at Memorial Hall at 400 North Penn in Independence, Kansas on November 17th from 6 to 10 p.m. You'll be joined by Chris Kobach. And once again, thanks for stopping in at Bartlesville, and it's been a pleasure having you on our program today.